Jesus is risen.
He's risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Welcome to St. John's as we continue to celebrate the Easter season. It's a festival that lasts a week of weeks, and we're just getting started. Today, we will join in songs and praise, in prayer and thanksgiving, all for God's good blessing. I'm so glad that you're with us, whether you're here in church or you're with us online. It is good to be together as God's children. Couple of brief announcements. First of all, I want to make sure that I'm inviting all senior high youth to the youth group meeting this afternoon. Starts at 6. I hope that you can be there. And also, we're looking for 2 people to be delegates to this year's Synod Assembly. I know it rates right up there with Congregational Meeting Sunday, you know. But we're looking for 1 lady and 1 gentleman to join with me and many other sisters and brothers from around the Synod on Saturday, June 3rd. The Synod Assembly this year is at Peace Lutheran Church in Beaver Creek. If you're interested or you want any other kinds of information, please, please, please come see me or call the office. It would be lovely. And so we're looking for 2, 1 male, 1 female. We've gathered this morning so that we might be in worship. So let us continue that worship by joining together in our gathering song. It's a greater song. Let us rise and sing together.
Imagine a melody true enough to tell of your mercy. Who could imagine a harmony sweet enough to tell of your love? I see the heavens proclaiming day after day, and I know in my heart that there must be a way to sing a great
now. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, the strength of those who believe and the hope of those who doubt, may we who have not seen have faith in you and receive the fullness of Christ's blessing, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be
Today's first lesson is from the book of Acts.
Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. This man handed over to you according to the definite plan of the foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on the throne. Foreseeing this, David sought of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and all of that all of us are witnesses. The word of the Lord. The second lesson is from 1 Peter. Blessed be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The Lord be with you.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John in the 20th chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it at my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of our Lord. The congregation may be seated. I would love to invite any children to come on forward. Oh, and it comes with the perfect little purple bear. Oh, my goodness. And that's just fine. All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. And how are you? I'm so glad to hear that. All right. So today in the gospel, for the 33rd year in a row, we had the Doubting Thomas story. Do you know why we call that story the Doubting Thomas story? Because Thomas doubts that Jesus rose from the dead. All right. That's what they do. They call. So Jesus comes. He comes and he says, "Look at my hands. Look where the nails were when I was hanging and dying on that cross. He said, look at my side where they stuck me with the spear. He said, look, come, touch. Do not doubt, Jesus says, but believe. And Thomas immediately says, my Lord and my God. That's what I want to talk about today. Do you know what a Lord is? I mean, it's a word we use a lot, isn't it? Right? In England, there's a House of Lords as part of their government. What's a Lord? A Lord is a leader who we are willing to follow. That's what a Lord is. When we talk about my Lord, we're saying you are someone who I am willing to listen to. I'm allowing you to lead me. I will follow. And so the first thing Thomas says is, you are my Lord. And then he says, my God. Now, a lot of people wouldn't think that, first of all, a human being is God, right? I'm not God, am I? No, I'm not, right? But Jesus is. He's God the Son, and we see God most clearly in Jesus, especially the Jesus who died on the cross for you and for me. If we want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. If we want to know what God is going to do in any given situation, look at Jesus, because Jesus shows us what God is like. Jesus shows us what God's love is like. And so like Thomas, I hope that you can, whether it's at your prayers at night, something like that, look to Jesus and say, my Lord and my God. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for your resurrection. And we thank you for being our Lord and our God. Help us to share your love this day and every day. We give you thanks and we pray in your name. Amen. You have a great morning. You have a great... There she is. Get down the step. Jesus is risen. And now may the grace and the presence of Jesus fill your lives this day and always. Amen. If you were listening to the Acts reading, or you go back and look at the Acts reading that we had this morning, you hear an amazing testimony. We hear Peter speaking on that very first Pentecost day, telling the crowds of the amazing truth about Jesus our Lord and his life and his death and his resurrection. Now, Peter pulls no punches when he enlists the crowds and all of us among those who are guilty of Jesus' death. But Peter also speaks about an inevitability to Jesus' resurrection. God, it was impossible for God to allow him to stay dead. Peter's proclamation here in Acts is a far cry from that first Easter day. Because when we look at the stories from that first Easter day, we have a huge selection of stories that include the disciples and doubt. It's not just Thomas who doubts, although his story brings the topic up to the forefront. Peter and the other disciples, Cleopas and his partner, all of the disciples who hear the testimony of the women, none of them believe. None of them believe what Jesus had told them earlier when he said that he would rise again. None of them believe when the women tell them, we have seen the Lord. It's not merely doubt. It's more unbelief, and it is pervasive. Now, the disciples had all heard Jesus announce that he was going to go to Jerusalem and be betrayed, handed over, convicted, executed, die, and then 3 days later, rise again. Now, it was not once, it was not twice, but it was three times that Jesus made this announcement. And every time the disciples responded as if they had put their fingers in the ears and hummed, I'm not listening. They didn't want to hear or believe about the betrayal. They didn't want to believe about the humiliation or the crucifixion. They especially didn't want to believe anything to do about the death. They didn't want to, and I think, in fact, they probably couldn't believe that any of that would happen. And yet it does. It had. And today's gospel begins with that same level of unbelief for everybody there. So what is it that took those people gathered in that upper room? What is it that takes us from unbelief to faith? What is it that Peter experienced that led to the amazing testimony we read in Acts, that led to his bold statement of faith? What is it that led the disciples to go and spread the good news of God's love in Jesus even to the ends of the earth? Well, what it is stuff that we see in this morning's gospel. Now, the primary gift, the primary thing that came to the disciples today to shift their unbelief to faith is the presence of our risen Lord. The ladies at the tomb, they were a little shocked, and even they were unbelieving when it was only the words of the angel that was telling them something. All of that changed when they met the Lord once again. The same is true for that group in the upper room today. It's easy to toss aside the words of all those silly women until the risen Lord stands before you. No locked doors kept him away. No fear for their own lives kept him away. Jesus is risen. And the risen Lord stands before them. It is the presence of our risen Lord that comes and begins to dismantle their unbelief. They now see and know and begin to believe that Jesus truly did rise from the grave. The presence of our risen Lord comes to us at this table, where Jesus is really and truly present in, with, and under this bread and wine. The presence of our risen Lord Jesus comes before us as we experience his love right here among our sisters and brothers. And also as we discover our risen Lord as he goes before us into the world, leading us and guiding us, the walls of unbelief begin to crumble. The next piece in this dismantling of unbelief is the gift of peace that Jesus speaks and gives. Now, Jesus had promised the disciples peace, not as the world gives, but peace. And so as Jesus re-enters their lives, as he enters into that room, the first words that Jesus speaks bestows on them the peace of God. Now, this is not just an end to fighting and fear. The peace of the Lord surpasses understanding, and it gives us courage and strength as we enter into a hostile world. Jesus grants that peace, and another brick in the wall of unbelief comes tumbling. We get that same peace from the same place. Jesus grants to us peace, and then we share that peace with each other and with the world around us as we live our lives. Next is the further gift of the Holy Spirit and a mission. Jesus says to them, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And the disciples are sent into the world to bring forgiveness into the lives of the people around them. Jesus had also promised to them the Holy Spirit and told us all that the Holy Spirit would stand beside us, would guide us, would forgive us, and prompt our forgiving of those around us. That's God's vision for the world, and it has now become our mission. The next brick in that wall of our unbelief falls before the patience of Jesus. Jesus is not upset with the disciples as they hide behind locked doors for fear. Jesus is not short with them for not believing the angels or the women. Jesus is not exasperated by Thomas and his demand to see and to touch, or he would not believe. From all the stories throughout the Old Testament to our gospel story to even our everyday lives, God in Jesus is patient with us. When we stumble, when we fall, when we behave as if we're the most important thing in the entire universe, Jesus is patient with us. We witness that patience today when Jesus appears for a second time for Thomas. Jesus shows his wounds. Jesus encourages faith. Thomas proclaims him my Lord and my God. That same patience is for us. That encouragement to faith is for us. There is always opportunity for us to proclaim that Jesus truly is our Lord and our God. You see, today I'm grateful to Thomas for his stubbornness and maybe even a little bit for his unbelief. I am grateful because it is through his eyes that we see all of this happening. We see the risen Lord. We see his wounds and we know the depth of Jesus' love through his willingness to suffer for the likes of us. I am grateful also for Thomas's statement of faith, like I am grateful for Peter's statement in Acts, because both of these moments show us that we are never trapped in our unbelief. There is always hope. At the conclusion of our gospel reading today, John, the gospel writer, tells us that all of these stories are written down and given to us that we might believe. Now, in John's gospel, the Greek word pisteuo is often translated as believe, when in other places in the New Testament, that same word is translated as faith. Belief is the beginning of faith. It's a necessary part of faith. But John wrote all of these stories so that we might have faith in Jesus Christ, because faith equals believing something, trusting something, and then acting as if those things matter in our lives. We can believe the promises of God. We can trust that those promises are real and true. And then we get to act as if all of those things are important. And that is faith. And for me, faith is an active word. It's not something you put on a shelf. It's somehow you live every day. Thomas's unbelief becomes faith when he confesses Jesus as his Lord and his God. The disciples' unbelief becomes faith as they begin telling people what they have seen and heard, and as the good news begins to go around. Peter's unbelief becomes faith as we hear him proclaiming to the crowds the inevitability of Jesus' resurrection and of the transformational power of God's love for us. Our unbelief becomes faith as we come to this table to express, to experience the presence of God and the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Our unbelief becomes faith as we go from this place back out into the world with hope that comes only from Jesus. That hope, that peace, the guidance, the forgiveness, the strength, the assistance, it all comes from the resurrection of our Lord. So let us discover here Jesus in the breaking of the bread. Let us meet Jesus in the world as he goes out before us to show us opportunities to love. Let us praise God and proclaim to anyone who will listen that Jesus is risen. Amen. Please rise. And now in this season of Easter, let us confess together our faith using the words we find in the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God, light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. United in the hope and joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. God of rebirth, the good news of your resurrection brings refreshment to a weary world. Following the women at the tomb, empower us to boldly share your radical love through our word and our work. Lord, in your mercy. As you breathed your spirit into the disciples, breathe your spirit of healing upon all creation. Nourish the earth with sufficient rain. Strengthen us to counter the effects of pollution and destruction. Lord, in your mercy. You prepared the disciples for their ministry by calming their fears and granting them your peace. Equip our community's leaders. Give them a spirit of peace and hearts that burn for justice, that their leadership reflects your love. Lord, in your mercy. You come among us in unexpected ways. Send us to those who hide in fear or question your love. Be a healing presence for any isolated by addiction, incarceration, mental illness, chronic pain, sickness, or grief. Lord, in your mercy. God of healing and grace, there are so many people who need your presence and power. We pray for all those who suffer illness or injury or with accident or in disease. We also pray for these known to us who need your wholeness and health. We pray for Sharon, Wyatt, Phyllis, Cody, Randy, Kathy, LaRue, Judith, Diane, and Rhonda. Come, Lord Jesus, and save us all. Lord, in your mercy. As you met the disciples on the road to Emmaus, show us your presence along our journey. Bless our doubts and questions. Provide trusting and safe relationship for all ages to nurture our connection to you and to one another. Lord, in your mercy. Resurrecting God, you bring us to new life every day. Thank you for the blessing, for blessing us with companions in our faith journey, especially those who now rest in your love. Strengthen us with the eternal peace of your promises. Lord, in your mercy. Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. May you trust in God's promises to his people for peace, security, and blessings, even when they are difficult to believe. May you know that God's news is good news, nourishing and true, even when people tell you it is not. And when you encounter doubt, may God strengthen your faith, guiding you in his perfect wisdom and counsel. And may you go this day with the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus is risen.
He's risen indeed. Hallelujah.
I hope your week is filled with blessing as you go into the world with hope.
May God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Spirit.